Just a quick reminder, if you've been trying links that I've mentioned on any of these recent episodes of the show and they don't work, technology changes and some of the things we offer change. So what we've decided to do is put everything that's current over at photobizhelp.com/links. And anything that isn't current probably won't work. So if you're having trouble with a link that doesn't work, that's probably why. Head on over to photobizhelp.com/links. Or if you're following along at photobizhelp on Instagram, it's the link in the bio. This is the Photo Business Help Podcast, a resource for photographers of all levels, from brand new to burnt out, who believe that business growth starts with personal growth. I'm your host, Natalie Jennings. I created Jennings Photo back in 2010 and have been happily full-time since, but not without some mistakes along the way. Those lessons, plus what's really helped me thrive financially and personally, are what I want to share with you so you can grow with your photo business too. You'll also hear stories from other photographers and industry folks, as well as my favorite ways to be more mindful and happier on this journey. Hi, I am jumping in here to let you know that this week's episodes are replays of shows that were wildly popular in the past and have some really great information for you. Before we dive into today's episode, here are a few words from folks that support Photo Business Help. I have a really great deal for you. This is super limited time. So if you are stuck on your SEO journey and you want to just improve your SEO, but in a simplified way, then Connor Wahlberg has a great opportunity for you. And he has a special opportunity for folks coming directly from this show. So let me tell you a little bit about it. It's a simple SEO membership. So all things simple when it comes to SEO. That's sort of like the core approach here, is that you don't want to have to figure out a bunch of complicated things when it comes to something like SEO. So with the membership, you'll just learn how to show up on Google for the right people and get more traffic headed to your site. You get instant access to the Simple SEO course, which is bite-sized video trainings to help you get your site fully optimized and ranking better, live monthly trainings and SEO Q&A calls. You get your questions answered, know what to do, and then when to do it, and just do it. So it's very simple. This is step-by-step for you. It's $30 a month, and you get a free 10-minute recorded site audit for all new members that come directly from Photo Business Help. All you have to do is let Connor know that you came from here, and you'll get that free audit of your site, so you'll know exactly where to start. So head on over to connorwahlberg.com/simple-seo-membership. We also have it linked in the show notes, but just in case, connorwahlberg.com/simple-seo-membership. Get started this new year on the right foot and learn a really simple system for boosting your SEO and your traffic. Doing today?
Today is fine. I was at the library this morning because my computer is in the shop. But the library I've discovered near me is like the coolest place ever. I like actually really like going there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting people to look at, but it's also a good working environment. And my library has this whole room with like the coolest stuff in it that I didn't even know existed until this week. It has a Mac computer with like Lightroom and stuff, but it also has a sewing machine and a whole sewing station. Yeah, that you can reserve and go in and do whatever you want. It has an area set up so that you can convert your VHS tapes to digital.
No way.
As well as any, yeah, for free. You just bring in your hard drive or a USB flash drive. Same with 8mm film to digital, and any photos you can scan, as well as negatives you can scan. I like was freaking out.
I feel like libraries are maybe going to become this magical, beautiful community center.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, they already are, but this expansion, like gardens. I mean, I know some already do have like community garden spaces, but just that sounds great.
I know. I was like, this is so cool. There's a 3D printer.
What?
There's a couple other things too. Yeah. Or I'm like, well, for free? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what? What have I been doing?
I know.
I just get books. It was so cool.
I used to have a job for when I was in graduate school. I worked as a job coach for adults with disabilities, predominantly like learning disabilities and kind of cognitive delays and stuff like that. So I would help them find jobs.
Yep.
And we spent a lot of time at the library because that's where we would like do applications and use the computer to send stuff out.
Yep.
And I would, this is dates sort of the era that I was doing this, which was like in the late aughts. So like 2007, 8, 9. I would always rent like a, or borrow, because you're borrowing, you're not rent, like a stack of audiobook CDs.
Yeah.
And put them, my entire backseat of my car was just audiobook CDs and a huge, I had a dictionary. I had a huge dictionary. Okay, I was an English teacher, but I would like.
Nerd. No, I'm just
kidding. I would write. No, I would try and remember words that I didn't know. And sometimes I would pull over and look them up in the dictionary while I was listening to my audiobooks, DVD or CDs, because I'm a nerd and I don't like when I don't understand words.
I think I love you more than I did like a few seconds ago. That is really funny. And I'll do that like when I'm reading a book.
Yeah.
There's been a few books over the years I read that were like challenging and I just like had a dictionary there. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, learning so many things.
It's great. I love that. But I was also so amazed, like I'd have these stacks of audiobooks because I drove a lot for that job. So I was in my car a lot, which is why the audiobooks. But like, I was always amazed, like these are free.
Yeah.
They're just free. And then I'll bring them back because I'm not going to keep them.
Yep. My first library memory. I love the library, by the way, but.
This is a plug for your local library.
Yeah. I just think it's so cool. I'm like, do people know about this? Because my computer's in the shop, but I can do everything I need right at the library, which is a mile from my house. I'm like, this is so fun.
Have you heard of libraries?
But my first memory is we would do the books on tape a lot too, growing up. And back then in the 90s, it was cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. And I distinctly remember there was one that was my favorite. And I was probably like 6 or 7. It was a dinosaur book. So you get the book and you get the cassette tape, but it also had a map of the story it was telling. Like, so you could listen to the story and look at the map. And I just thought it was so cool.
That's amazing. I love this.
Yeah.
I feel like people are going to come back to libraries.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But we might just get so sick of being by ourselves all the time that we want to just go pick out a book or use the conversion to DVD technology or whatever that was. DVD. From VHS to...
What is it now?
What was it? To a hard drive?
Digital. Digital is what they called it. But I will definitely be doing that because I have old home videos that I want preserved.
There's a store in Minnesota here that's closing down. It's like the last video DVD rental store. They did a big piece on it in the Star Tribune, and it's closing this month, but it's, they did like this video of the insides, and it's just took me way back to the 80s and 90s because it's the same, you know. There's like posters on the walls from classic movies, and there's just rows and rows and rows and rows of VHS and DVDs and God knows what else in there, probably a gumball machine.
Have you seen that Netflix documentary about Blockbuster?
No, but I want to.
Oh, it'll make you cry. I cried. I cried and I just was like, oh my God, because it shows you like the inside of the Blockbusters and the whatever, the movie stores. And I'm like, oh, it just was such a, I don't know, the vibe on a Friday night at a Blockbuster. Ugh.
So good. And it really wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was really like the late 2000s that kind of stopped. I watched all of Sopranos by renting it from the video store. You know, getting through a few, going back, getting more, being bummed out if someone else had the copy I needed.
Yep.
You had to be patient. You had to, you know, be in the world.
Work for it a little bit. It's so good.
It was good because you did have to sort of like, it was a bigger buildup and you had more patience and you had to, I don't know. I feel like there's something more exciting about that era.
There totally is. It's not just there. Like, you might not get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should we get into our question today?
Sure.
Now that we've got proper 80s, 90s vibes rolling. Oh, I love it.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. If you'd like to submit us a question, please do. Just email helpdesk@photobizhelp.com or photobusinesshelp.com. They'll go to the same place. helpdesk@photobizhelp.com. All right. I've been wondering about the value in narrowing my focus versus doing all kinds of things. Am I limiting myself by narrowing to a few specialties, or am I setting myself up to be an expert in those types of sessions? I love this question.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Well, I don't know if I know like the right answer as far as like you should limit yourself or you shouldn't. I think this is probably annoying, but it's whatever makes you feel the best. And if there's certain types of photography that you don't really get very excited about, you should not be doing those kinds, or at least not in the way you are doing them. You should figure out if you want to continue it or if you want to do it a different way. That for sure, I would say, is a fact.
I want to double underline that and like bold that and make sure that that's a heard point, because I think that that's, I think people get caught in the money trap of like, oh, someone wants me to do this, but I hate doing that, versus like, you're going to continue then to spend your time and energy, creativity, all those things on things that you don't really like doing. So just being aware of that. If you need the money, of course, you know, like sometimes we just have to take stuff. But like if, I just think that's a really good point you made. So,
yeah. And then that's what leads to burnout, is if you're doing a whole bunch of stuff that you just like get that pit in your stomach and you're just like, ugh. And then afterwards, you're like, I don't feel like I did a good job. And you're editing and you're asking your friends how you should fix this and blah, blah, blah. Like, gross. That's the worst. So those are the things you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And I think if you really just hone in on the things that like are the opposite of that and light you up, you will naturally become like the expert of that and probably attract more of that. But as far as like making that hard decision of like, I am not going to do all this stuff, that one really is kind of tough. Like, just, I don't know. I don't think you're going to hurt yourself, but I do think you can only go so far in each area, because to go really far in one area, you kind of have to give it a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? Okay.
It does. And I think that there isn't a right or wrong way to do it for sure. But I would say this, if you're at the very, very, very beginning and you A, know exactly what you love and want to do, like let's say you want to be a fashion photographer, that's all you look at, that's all you love, that's what lights you up, then just do that. If you're at the very, very beginning and you're like, I'm not sure, I might like weddings, I might like food, I might like, you know, and you haven't tried these things yet, and you're kind of in this lifestyle camp, which means like you're not doing big corporate ad work, you're not doing things like that. So if you're doing lifestyle stuff, babies, weddings, like everything that falls under that category, I would say in the very early stages, try stuff to see what you like. However, you don't have to advertise everything you're doing. So, you know, build your brand and your outward facing stuff with intention. If you try something and it didn't go that great, don't show people, you know, don't share that if it's not something you want to do again. Also, once you start locking into stuff you really like I loved weddings so much when I first started. So I really focused the majority of my business, my outward facing business, on getting more weddings. And I got better and better and better at them. And so the benefit to niching down, there's many benefits to it, but one of them is that people start to know you for that thing. Another is that you get really good at that thing. But as a business person, all of your materials, your templates, your contracts, your any kind of marketing strategies you do, or things like sales at different times of year or whatever, all of that becomes so fine-tuned because you're speaking to the same audience all the time. When you start branching out into different areas, you may want to change the way you present yourself. Like, I'm a portrait photographer rather than I'm a newborn photographer. That kind of opens it up to more things without it being, I'm a newborn, senior, wedding, family. You know, like, I think it can get really complicated. And each of those groups wants a different thing. Each of those groups is a different audience. So if you're not quite like sure yet, and you're not really that great at reaching out to your audience, you're not like, you haven't really nailed down your message yet, you're not comfortable in your brand, then you are complicating things by trying to speak to a bajillion different people.
Yeah.
You know, niching down allows you to get really good at talking to the same person every single time because you know what they want.
Yep.
And I would say that that's hugely valuable. So like, I predominantly am a family photographer. If you look at my website, if you look at stuff I do, but I've started adding stuff back in that I've been doing behind the scenes for years and years and years and years and years, like branding photography. And I have just like a little blurb about it because it's not the main thing I do, but it is something I do. So, you know, you kind of can go about it however you want, you know, but maybe make sure one thing is really stable and locked in before you're talking outwardly about a bunch of other things, if that makes sense.
Totally. Another thing that popped up in my head is that you can niche down within a category of photography too. So like, I think when we think niching down, it's like, well, do I just do newborns and families, or do I do newborn seniors and headshots? Or like, I do family stuff, which is maternity and newborn as well. I don't do headshots and branding. Then within my family category, I've niched down even more to a specific type of style and person that would like those kinds of photos. So I will not be posing your baby and wrapping them and using lights and props. I will be like documenting kind of an hour of your life together instead. Like, I would recommend niching down within the category that you are shooting. But again, if you're at the beginning of your career, like, you may not know what you like yet or what doesn't feel good. You might have to try a bunch of things, but like, follow the good feeling. It's really all you have to do ever in life, the end.
Yeah. I mean, really, that is it. That's totally it.
Yeah. Does it feel good?
Now it's very different than it was 13 years ago. But 13 years ago, when I started doing weddings and I niched within that genre to be super documentary, storytelling, mm-hmm. you know, ethereal movement, all that kind of stuff, people wanted it. You know, it was very easy to grow my wedding business because it was a newer style at the time. It was the first few years of what you see everywhere now. So that was lucky. But it was also like, people that wanted more formal poses or bright and light and airy, which I don't do, or whatever. Like, they just knew I wasn't their photographer. And I think, you know, that's another awesome point. So like, if you're doing family photography and you're doing like all these posy portraits with big groups of people, like, perhaps you want to niche further down in that category if you'd rather be doing like being like a fly on the wall at a birthday party or at bedtime or, you know, whatever. Like, I think that's an awesome point, because I think either way, I think if you offer a ton of different stuff and you're not super busy yet, I think you need to just be careful to recognize that you're speaking to many different types of people.
Yep.
I started adding my branding stuff back in on my website, at least, like, where you can see that I also offer that. Because I was busy enough. You know, I wasn't trying to like scramble to talk to all these people. Like, I have done enough branding sessions behind the scenes, and I have enough of a portfolio that if someone comes to me with that, I know what to say to them. I know what to show them. Great. But I'm not putting all of my effort into that. It's just something that I happened to grow behind the scenes because I enjoyed doing it. But it wasn't my main thing, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, like, if you're doing something like a bunch of food photography gigs here and there, and you're not really sure you want that to be your front-facing thing, then just keep doing it and keep it separate.
Yep.
I feel like you just have more of a workload when you're starting out and you're trying to get clients and you're trying to get a bunch of different types of clients.
Right.
Like, you have different newsletters, different messaging online, different whatever. I think it does help to not have to speak to everyone about that. Like, do all the things to learn the ropes, but kind of maybe pick one lane to talk about in public. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Yep.
Or at least at first, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I agree. Yeah, it just really depends on where you are at in your career. Try a couple different things. Definitely start to niche down within your categories. You know, you can do the same type of person. Like, headshots for the same type of person that you do for families and stuff like that. Like, I think that's even niching down. You're serving the same client base, but you're doing different types of photography.
Totally.
Which is kind of what I'm doing now, but I've this year removed a couple different things that were those things that stressed me out.
I think that's a good point too. It's like, if you don't know yet, if you're in the early stages, what's going to like stress you out. You don't know how to run stuff. Like, I run my proofing and my entire workflow differently for my branding clients than I do for my mini session clients. So like, but I know how both of those workflows work like the back of my hand because I've done them a bajillion times. So I'm comfortable front facing both of those offers because I'm not going to scramble to try and meet the needs of either one of them. I know how to do that. But I think if you're in the beginning, you really are going to, I think what's going to be stressful is like, if you have a food photography inquiry and then like a family and then maybe a wedding, what gets overwhelming is that you haven't really nailed down any of those workflows yet. So you're like trying to create materials for all these people. Here's my pricing guide for this. And here's my, and it can get really confusing. I think that's what I see happen. You just get overwhelmed by like, you can't treat all of those clients the same because they're totally different clients. So even if you're experienced, you know, that's something to consider. It's like, pick the thing that you're best at, get really good at it, refine it, and then add on to it if you want to. Maybe that's a good...
Right. That's probably the way it should be done, the way I did it. I did a lot of things the way I probably shouldn't have done them.
I mean, you and I have kind of been doing that the last few years. It's like, we know inside out how to do a wedding or how to do a family session. And now we're refining, you know, I stopped doing weddings, but I've added on whatever. And so I think you want to know how to talk to your clients so you can attract them in, and you want to know how to treat them well when they're there. If you have the bandwidth to do it really well in a bunch of different lanes, go for it. But most folks that are beginning don't have the experience or the ability to do that. So I think just avoid getting overwhelmed, you know, learn how to add before you learn how to multiply. I don't know.
Dang, that's good. That's philosophical. I like that.
Yeah. A little math metaphor to wrap this up.
Yep. I like that.
Okay. I think we nailed it. Let's leave it there. But I love that question because it is, there's no right answer, but you are certainly, like you said, just do what feels good and try not to overwhelm yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, just get really good at one thing first.
Yep. And it's always, you're always going to be refining. Like I said, just this year, I'm like, okay, I'm no longer going to be doing headshots, branding, and possibly not seniors anymore.
Yeah.
You can always do that. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. You can send them to me.
Yes, I will.
No, but I mean, we can do that. I mean, I stopped doing weddings. I send everyone to you. So, you know, that's what happens. That's also another reason why you should network.
Having friends is fun.
All right. For any questions for our next episode, help desk at photobizhelp.com. Thank you, Audrey. And good luck to all of you who are building your businesses. Because I know that this stage of like, what should I do? What should I offer? Can be tough. But try and simplify as much as you can. Okay, bye.
Bye.